Good morning, everybody. It's great that we can be here this morning on this Good Friday morning. I'm Chris, one of our pastors here. If you are here in the room, I'm very glad that you've made it this morning. And to those of you who are at home, isn't it great to be worshiping together? And I'm very grateful that we have a wonderful team who has worked hard, prepared, and led us this morning. Thank you, everybody, for leading our service so far. This morning, on this Good Friday morning, I'd like to talk about sin. It's perhaps not something we spend a lot of time talking about, but it does seem relevant on a Good Friday morning when we're reflecting on Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. Often when we talk about sin, when we think about sin, we have in mind this sort of general word, thinking about the wrong things that we do and say and think. But the Bible, when you read the Bible and see the way it talks about sin, it has a very, very rich vocabulary. And this gives us a great appreciation of the great variety and magnitude of the ideas that are behind the word sin. So we have, I think you'll be familiar with, sins of commission. This is where we do or say or think things that we shouldn't have done, said, or thought. And then we have sins of omission. This is when we didn't do things or didn't say things that we should have done or said. Or maybe you've heard of missing the mark. This is where we didn't hit, this comes from sort of the idea of the archery, where we didn't hit the target that we were aiming for, or didn't hit the goal that we were aiming for. And the Bible says that missing the mark is sin, because we don't live up to the standard that God has set for us. Often we don't meet God's standard because, in fact, we're not aiming at the mark that God has set for us. We've decided to turn around and head for a completely different target altogether. That's the sin of missing the mark. And then there's transgression. We go outside the limits or the boundaries that God has set for us. Last night I spent quite a bit of time in Melbourne Airport. The planes were very late. I came, but my bag didn't come. And if you walk around an airport, you'll notice that on any of the doors leading out to airside, there are these signs: no trespassing. This is the idea of transgression. You can't go beyond this point if you're not authorized to do so. That's the sin of transgression. We also sin through ignorance. I've spent a few days this week in Mildura, and I was driving around. I'm not familiar with the streets in Mildura. I'm not familiar with the various speed limits on the various streets. So I didn't do this, but it would have been easy for me to be driving at 60 in a 50 zone, for example, because I hadn't seen the speed sign. But just because I didn't know wouldn't have been an excuse. It still would have been breaking the law. And the Bible says that we sin when we could have known what is the right thing to do, but we choose not to know. That's the sin of ignorance. And then we have sins of wickedness when we deliberately disobey God. And then rebellion, where we know what we should be doing, but we deliberately, purposefully say, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to do this. So I now want us to come back to that passage that Wanda read for us from John chapter 19. And that describes one account of what Jesus went through on that first Good Friday morning. And if we come to that passage with a greater appreciation of the variety and extent of our sin, of the sins of the world, this gives us an even greater appreciation of how wide and long and high and deep is God's love for us, the love that Jesus led him to willingly go through all of that for us. I want to come back to the last verses in that passage, the verse that Wanda has already referred to earlier in the service. And I want to read these verses again from verse 28. Knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus' final words before he gave up his life, "It is finished." So I want to look at two questions this morning. What is this "it" that is finished? And in what respect is it finished? First, the "it." In John chapter 5, Jesus says that he has works of his Father, works that his Father has given him to do, works that his Father has given him to finish. And throughout the Gospel, John gives us description of these works that Jesus came to finish, that he came to fulfill. And today I just want to focus on one of these. At the beginning of the Gospel, John the Baptist is talking to his followers, and he sees Jesus and he tells them that this is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So for John, the writer of this Gospel, Jesus' death is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for sin. So on the cross, all sin, in all its horrendous variety and scale, is put onto Jesus. And then, as he says, "It is finished," he gives himself to death and he offers himself as a sacrifice. And on the cross, he takes the penalty for all sin, for all people, for all time. And during those hours on the cross, the work of taking away the sin of the world is complete. The power that evil and sin had to keep people enslaved is broken. We are set free. Prison doors are open. Chains are released. There are no more sacrifices for sin. Nothing more needs to be done. And in relation to God, the work of forgiveness is complete. The sin that was separating us from God is totally removed. The offense between us and God is dealt with. We are totally forgiven. This is the good news of Good Friday. But that's not the whole story. Jesus didn't just die on the cross to take away our sin. When John records Jesus saying, "It is finished," he uses the verb in the perfect tense. And if you're into grammar, you'll know that a verb in the perfect tense talks about a past action that has continuing impact or significance in the present and into the future. And we get this sense in English when we think about different things that are finished or completed. This week I've been, as I said, in Mildura, and I've been helping my parents organise an 80th birthday party for my dad. And in the days leading up to that party on Wednesday night, we worked hard, we prepared, we got the food organised. Then on the night, people came, we celebrated, then we cleaned up. And then by 11 o'clock Wednesday night, the party was all finished. Everything was complete. There was nothing more to be done. It was over. The celebration was finished. Let's now compare the completion of a birthday party with a composer writing a piece of music. So first, she'll come up with an idea, and then she'll start to draft. She'll start to write, and then she'll rewrite, and then write some more, play it, keep going, until she comes to the point when she says, "It's finished. The lyrics and the score are complete." But unlike the party, that's not the end. It's really just the beginning. Now it's time for the music to be played and performed. Now it's time for the song to be enjoyed and shared over and over and over in the present and into the future. The music is finished, but the benefits and enjoyment of the song are to continue. So when Jesus says, "It is finished," it's more like the way a piece of music is finished than the way a party is finished. Our sins are taken away. The work of forgiveness is complete. We are set free from the power of sin and death. There is nothing more to be done. It is finished. It is complete. And if you are a Christian and believe that Jesus died on the cross, and if you're trusting that Jesus is your Lord or your boss, then you can have absolute certainty. Every one of your sins, past, present, and future, is removed. It's gone. It's forgiven. You are right with God. You are saved. There's nothing more that you can do. There's nothing more to add to what Jesus has already done. It's like when you're paying a bill on your phone bank. You click submit, a message pops up, payment complete, you get the receipt number, there's nothing more to do. The bill is completely paid. But like a piece of music, the fact that our sins are taken away has ongoing significance and benefit. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it wasn't the end of the story. The work of forgiveness is finished, so that we can now have a relationship with God, our Father. In the words of Tom Wright, the music Jesus wrote must now be performed, and we are the performers. Now is the time for us to live the new eternal life that we have received through Jesus' finished work on the cross. And that's what I want us to continue to think about this coming Sunday, on Easter Sunday. You may know the story from John chapter 5, where there was a paralyzed man lying by the pool. And Jesus sees him, comes up to him, talks to him. And he discovers that this man has been an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus comes along and gives him an invitation. Do you want to get well? And for the man, his situation is hopeless. He can't see any possibility of this happening. But Jesus brings the kingdom of God into this man's life. And he says, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And the man responds to the invitation, and that's what he does. At once, he gets up and walks. He's healed. But for that man, it's not the end of the story. Later, Jesus finds him in the temple and he invites him again. And he says, "See, you are well. Now stop sinning." We'll come back to that story again on Sunday morning. But for now, on this Good Friday morning, do you hear Jesus' invitation to you? Maybe you're visiting church this morning. Maybe you're still checking Jesus out, wondering who he is. What's this all about? Well, can I invite you to keep searching? Continue to get to know Jesus. He's offering you an invitation to believe and to accept the free gift. He's offering you forgiveness for all your sin, once and for all. Keep searching. Keep finding out who Jesus is. And if you are a Christian, hear the invitation to trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross. No matter how you have sinned, whether through ignorance or missing the mark or transgression, whether it's through commission or omission, whether it's even deliberate, premeditated rebellion against something that you knew full well that you shouldn't be doing. However you have sinned, Good Friday is good news. Jesus is the perfect once-for-all sacrifice for all sin. And because Jesus died, you are free from the power that sin and evil had over you. There is nothing more that you can do, nothing more that you need to do. What an invitation to stop and to rest and to hear Jesus' words from the cross. Let these words wash over you. It is accomplished. It is finished. It is finished. Danny, could you put the blinds up for us? And could the music team, the worship team, come back?